The Miami Open is underway, thousands of tennis fans crowding in to watch play. But outside of the Williams sisters, they won't see many U.S. players winning it all around the world. Let's get the view from the top of U.S. tennis with 46-year-old Katrina Adams, a former professional player who recently became head of the U.S. Tennis Association, the first African-American to hold that job and the youngest ever. She also runs the Harlem Junior Tennis and Education Program. A perfect person to ask, is there a disconnect here? There's a passion for the game, but fewer top U.S. world players. Katrina Adams, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. But start with where you did. You say you stumbled into tennis?
I did at the tender age of 6 because my brothers were in a summer program and my parents were teaching. I had to travel along with them. And after 2 weeks of being on the outside of the fence looking in and begging, I was allowed on the court, and the rest is history.
Well, and you represent a lot of young people, middle class, but you grew up in a city. What might the USTA be thinking about getting at those kids?
We've worked hard in making sure that we've created and developed a lot of NJTL programs.
NJTL?
Yeah, National Junior Tennis and Learning Network, which was co-founded by Arthur Ashe, Charlie Passerelle, and Sheridan Snyder back in 1969. And there are over 600 chapters around the country, but there are so many thousands of other programs. I think the disconnect when you talk about the grassroots is really making sure that we can find those true athletes that want to get into the sport of tennis. So many of our athletes have chosen other pathways with football, basketball, and it's really trying to lure those kids into our sport. It's not the glamour sport that they see with their superstar heroes on commercials all the time with LeBron James and Russell Wilson. And it's just a matter of making sure that we provide opportunity for them to have access to seeing these superstars like Serena Williams and others. And because we're an individual sport, that's the challenge more so than these stars from all the other NBA and NFL and MLB leagues, because they have those leagues behind them that are really promoting them. And for tennis, it is an individual sport, and it's really up to the players' agents and the sponsors that they are with to get them into the media and commercials.
Well, and we know that the USTA is opening a new $60 million complex for community tennis and player development in Orlando, Florida. But the USTA already has an elite player training camp in Boca Raton, Florida. But you know there's been some complaints there. Some players and their parents have said that it was too tough. What's the balance you need to strike there?
That is really not common. Any player that is being trained to be a world-class athlete is going to be pushed beyond what might be their limits, and that's really finding out who they are. I always say you can't make a champion. A champion comes from within. Although they may have the skill sets that on the outside appear to be what it takes, sometimes they don't have it on the inside to really go that extra mile.
A lot of people don't know the USTA also runs all sorts of tournaments across the country, masters tournaments. People play in different age groups. The USTA is also the place where you call to ask, what should I do about this line call? Or, you know, you help players who are competing across the country. What do you think your biggest challenge is as the leader of the USTA?
Well, we are the national governing body of tennis, and we are responsible for the rules and regulations here in the U.S. The biggest challenge is just getting people in the game and keeping them in the game. We have a tendency to really start to lose some of our super seniors, our 70-plus, over time just because of physical ailments. And we are trying to create opportunities for them to stay in the game much longer. We have our 36, 60-foot courts that we use for 10 and under tennis or the introduction of tennis. And, you know, we're encouraging those older players, the senior players, to use those courts with the lower compression balls. They can still go out and play normal tennis on a smaller area of a court to be able to cover it. So that's one way of keeping them in the game, trying to shorten some of our tournament weekend structure for our 18 to 40 age category so that perhaps they may have a one-day event with a short scoring and not have to give up an entire weekend. And then when you talk about growing the sport, one of my main initiatives is really pushing out into the Hispanic community to introduce the sport of tennis to them. And that's one of the main areas of growth that we can work with, as well as our high school athletes. We have a no-cut team situation in our high schools across America. So you may have 30 kids on a high school team and you only have 8 to 10 of them actually having a chance to compete on the team. So we want to engage those other youth to stay in the sport outside of their high school season, even though they may be multi-sport players.
Well, as we said, you have a playing career, fourth round in singles at Wimbledon, 20 career Women's Tennis Association doubles titles from 88 to 99. So you're of the game. But you're also the youngest president of the USTA. As you try to think of how to adjust tennis, tennis is a sport that people hold to traditions, you know, very hard.
We are a traditional sport and in an innovative society. And so trying to make change is always a task. But, you know, we have been able to kind of chip away at that over the last few years. When we introduced 10 and under tennis, when we shortened the courts and had smaller rackets and low compression balls for trying to introduce the sport to youth, a lot of people said we weren't going to succeed. Well, our numbers have skyrocketed for that age group. You look at baseball. Kids don't start on a world-class baseball field. Pee-wee football is on a smaller field. And tennis was kind of behind the ball there. And now we are right in the forefront of changing and making those developments so that it is a kid-sized sport now. Ultimately, yes, we'd like to have champions, but our ultimate goal is we're a nonprofit organization. We want to get people and kids on the court. And as they develop, it's great. But there's a small percentage that will make it to the top of the ranks or even to the professional ranks. And we want to make sure that we are developing and creating a healthy society for all involved in going out and enjoying the sport.
You mentioned your sport is nonprofit. If I understand right, you're not paid.
I am not paid. It is a volunteer, or our structure is a volunteer organization. Our national office does an incredible job of developing the programs and rolling them out and really running the business of the sport. But my position is unpaid.
That was really stunning to hear because we know, for instance, Pat McEnroe recently stepped down as the head of player development, and he reportedly made $1 million a year. And to hear that you, as the president of the USTA and presidents before you, aren't paid, why do it? It's a lot of work and a lot of different people pulling at you with different opinions as to what you should do.
It's for the pure love of the game and the passion that we have to want to make a difference.
Well, Katrina Adams, we wish you all the best going forward. Again, president, unpaid, of the U.S. Tennis Association, the USTA, the first African-American and the youngest president. Thank you so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you, Robin. Appreciate it.